Today on Noteworthy Networks, we have Tab Townsell to share just a snippet from his bio. You should know that he served as the mayor of the city of Conway, Arkansas for 18 years and is currently the executive director of MetroPlan, the Central Arkansas Metropolitan Planning Organization, also known as MPO. He, of course, is an alumni of the University of Central Arkansas, class of 84, having received his Bachelor's of Science degree in political science. Welcome, Tab, and thank you so much for agreeing to come on today.
Glad to be on, Brianna.
All right. So I know that you've worked in mainly two large areas for a period of time now that you're known for, both being the previous mayor of Conway and now the executive director of MetroPlan. So I look forward to diving in more to learn about your career and what you've done over the course of it in both areas. With that, I'm going to go in and jump with my first question. So how did you become interested in first becoming the mayor of Conway?
Okay, it goes back to my time at UCA. I had not necessarily been involved in government, but in that era, in the late 1970s, government was, you know, a big discussion. That was the Reagan Revolution in the presidential election in 1980. So I was interested in politics in general and thought at that time, as I was in college, that I wanted to be in Congress. I wanted to be a bachelor and have a beard. Well, I can't grow a beard and I got disillusioned with Congress. And I waited for a long time to give up my bachelorhood, but my views on life changed. After my graduation at UCA and had a wonderful time with my political science major and economics minor, how many political scientists have you ever met? There's not a big field out there. So I went and got a MBA, a master's in business administration from Texas Christian University, thinking that I would want to end up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That tended to be a destination for a lot of my classmates and college students in those days in the early to mid 80s. So I went down there. And while I was down there studying for the MBA, we had to live off of campus. Graduate students couldn't live on campus. And around campus at TCU is Colonial Country Club area. And they had all had their, whatever rentals were available, were locked up long previously. So we had to go to the southwest area of Fort Worth, about 15 minutes away. But it was a developing area, and it was developing in a very nice fashion. You could see that they were doing, that parking lots weren't just seas of asphalt. They had planners and landscaping. The signs were small. Everything was well done. The whole building envelope of buildings, the new buildings, were wrapped. They weren't just a brick facade on the front and tin on the other three sides. So it got me thinking about that. Upon graduation, that was when real estate, banking, and oil and gas had collapsed in Texas. So my dreams of living in Dallas-Fort Worth evaporated with that. Came back to work for my father's construction firm. And because Arkansas's economy was tied to the oil and gas industry in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma, we were in a slump as well. So Dad shipped the construction company over to Memphis. And I ended up getting an apartment near Germantown. And you could drive through that town and you could see the similar things. You could see small signs, a lot of landscaping, well-built buildings all the way around. And it started me to thinking, why is that different? Because Conway was growing and developing at that time, and I'm a Conway native. So I went and got their codes, went and got their development codes and read through them, had to learn the lingo and learned how they work together. And that got me interested in how you create beautiful cities by what you mandate in your regulations and code. You don't just let anything go. You actually choose what you want the city to develop like by how it's written. So I started advocating for that, letters to the editor, which got me pats on the back, but no action, and decided I would be on a planning commission, but found out the planning commission in Conway, or in Arkansas really, doesn't plan as much as it reacts to developers' proposals. And so when the chance came to run for city council or mayor, the mayor spot came open, and I decided to run for that. So that's what got me into it. Now, once I got elected, then I had to learn about police and fire and sanitation and all the other things that cities did. But it was planning and developing a better city, a more well-planned city, is what first got me interested in moving my political aspirations from Congress through the state offices possible to local offices.
Yeah, you really worked yourself like your way up, I guess. Like you worked yourself through it, and not necessarily, I guess, from your education, but maybe like what you saw around you while you were studying. That's very cool. So then from moving from the mayor to now your current position, how did you become interested in working for MetroPlan? I guess that sort of goes along with the planning and developing aspect of it.
It is MetroPlan and MPOs in general across the nation. It's a federally mandated requirement for any metropolitan statistical area over 50,000 people in the nation. They are supposed to have an MPO that coordinates transportation planning for that population center with the state highway departments. Federal monies go primarily to the state highway departments. This is a way for those population centers, those metropolitan areas, to counterbalance some of the influence that the state highway departments have across the nation and take an interest in part in their own development of the roads and highways. Okay, so that's what it's there for. So it's primarily a transportation thing. Mm-hmm. But to your point, yes, you can't really talk about transportation. And we think of transportation as the top end of the system, the interstates and the mega infrastructure. You can't really get to there and start having that discussion until you look at the land development mm-hmm. all throughout your region, out of which the transportation system, you know, takes root and grows. And that, the land development aspect of it, is what I am primarily interested in. So yes, I am in a very similar related field. It's just now Canvas is across the whole Central Arkansas region rather than just City of Conway. I've given up the actual ability to act, but I have a lot more bullet to influence.
Okay. Very cool. And you said that it's cities that are 50,000 with their population or over.
It's regions, actually.
Regions. Okay.
And what MPOs were created to do, if I can give you a little history lesson, is in the 1950s, they started funding the interstate highway system. Eisenhower pushed the funding. The interstate highway system had been approved and sought after as a transportation mode since the 1940s. Actually, World War II is still being fought. Eisenhower arranged to get it funded, and they gave the monies to build this interstate highway system to the state departments of transportation. They federalized it, in essence. Well, the state departments of transportation didn't have to answer to the cities as they started moving these freeways and buying up property and cutting swaths through the great cities of the nation. So the great cities wanted more influence. They wanted to help determine where those interstates went and who was being displaced and how much it damaged their city. So Congress enacted the MPO requirements in 1962 as that counterbalance. So yes, that's what we try to do, but instead of giving that authority to just one city in a larger region, they made the regional cities act together with the counties and cooperate and coordinate together so that one city couldn't hold a trump card on everybody else. And that's what we're there to do.
Okay. Very interesting. All right. So can you give me a little bit of an insight on how most people get into becoming a mayor of a city? I know that, you didn't have any previous political work under your belt before you, other than, you sort of worked your way into it. What would you say how most people get involved in trying to become a mayor of a city?
I think you have to become I would recommend people don't just get into politics to be elected.
Yeah.
If that's your reason, thank you very much. We have plenty of that. And certainly it's a matter of being popular, being on the right side of the big issues of the day. That's how you get elected and being being in politics. That's not my interest. Having gone through four elections, actually five, if you count the very first primary I ran in, you quickly get tired of the process of running for office, the politics of it. However, I never got tired of the process of governing. So really, I probably shouldn't have been a political science major in college. I probably should have been a public administration major in college. But there was quite a bit of crossover among the instructors and my coursework. But nonetheless, I would recommend becoming familiar and a participant in the broad discussion in your community. I think it's Oliver Wendell Holmes, the 19th and early 20th century Supreme Court justice, that said, life is action and passion. You have to be a part of the action and passion of your day, lest you be judged not to have lived. And yes, that can be the big national, you know, scope of politics, that coming out of an election season and a new presidency, you know, that might be what we think of, but we probably are more intimately affected by things closer to home, your local government, how its ordinances and its regulations actually impact your life on a daily, you know, weekly and, you know, and everyday basis, in essence. So I would recommend becoming part of that conversation. Learning about it, reading your newspaper, following the events of your city council or planning commission. And if there's a question about things, asking questions, or do like I did and just go get the ordinances and figure out what they say and why certain things are done certain ways. So become something of a conversant, if not an expert, in what you're doing. And then you have to learn to take knowledge and hopefully intelligence, and use wisdom to apply that in engaging people to move them where you need them to go, whether that's moving them to elect you into office or moving them to adopt a policy that your, in your opinion, your studies and your projection of what should be done is a good policy. You've got to learn to work with people. Mm-hmm. You can't divorce politics from moving people, and that often means compromising your message, compromising what you say and what you're willing to do as a temporary step to get to a longer term goal. You have to apply wisdom in working with people to get it done. So practice all those traits, you know, both learn your city, become involved in the conversation, and then learn how to work with people. If you don't work with people, it's hard to get people to elect you without that trait. So please understand that the wisdom of politics is learning how to work with people. That's my big advice to anybody who would be interested in getting involved in local government. And don't just use it as a stepping stone. Get involved in local government or state government to get something done, to make a better world.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, you definitely, I guess, have shown that kind of like an expert in that. You were the mayor for 18 years. So can you give me a rundown on how many years, like when you were first elected and what your mayoral, how long it was?
Sure. I was first elected in 1998 and took office January 1st, 1999.
Okay.
I was elected over, you know, for 4-year terms, four times, and ended in 2016. Now, for those of you doing the math, that's 18 years, not 16 years. What it was in my second term, by quirk of state law, Conway topped 50,000 people. And it just so happens that state law allows a mayor's term to be extended 2 years so that his or her elections will fall on the election of a president, that election cycle, versus the election of a governor. And I have no idea why that was done that way, but I got an extra 2 years on my second term. So I got 18 years through four elections and not just 16 years.
Okay. So for those of us like myself that are not well-versed in, you know, local politics, I guess after you're saying that second term, you wouldn't have been able to continue on and try to do another election.
No, correct? Actually, there's no term limits in local government.
Okay.
It's just instead of running, I ran my first reelection in 2002. I would have had to run another reelection in 2006.
Mm.
By getting that extra 2 years, my next reelection moved from 2006 to 2008. And I could then run in 2008. There was no limitation on how many times. I could have run again for a fifth time had I wanted to, but it was time to move on. So I actually had elections in 1998, 2002, 2008, and 2012, and stepped out of office with the next election of the new mayor.
Okay. All right. So how do most people then get involved in working for an organization like MetroPlan?
MetroPlan is a regional planning body. So you can approach it from a engineering or planning perspective. It does not deal as intimately with the various codes and regulations that the cities and counties themselves apply. And primarily in its history has dealt with a more regional approach to things. We are now beginning to dive into recommendations and best practices and encouraging our member jurisdictions. And anybody in the Central Arkansas Metropolitan Statistical Area can be a part of MetroPlan as a jurisdiction. We're trying to encourage them for best practices so that they start building their transportation system as they grow in a better fashion. We're getting into expertise and requiring expertise similar to what you find in a city planning office or a county planning office or their engineering departments. Those skill sets are good at for doing what we do. I'm probably the political animal at MetroPlan. I was a member of MetroPlan's board of directors. Each of the mayors or county judges, the chief elected officials, in all member jurisdictions, whoever decides they want to be a part of MetroPlan in our metropolitan statistical area, and it's optional, if you want to be a part of it, then your chief elected officer, official, gets to sit on our board and has a vote on things. I sat on that board for all 18 years I was mayor of City of Conway, and it was my peers that elected me or chose me after I applied to fill the vacancy created when my previous predecessor, Jim McKenzie, my predecessor, retired. So they selected me. So I'm the political animal. The other folks in the office are the ones, the professional planners, the professional engineers. We also have GIS people that work with us in terms of mapping and all the different aspects and tools you can use the GIS systems for. We have graphic designers because we also publish newsletters and best practices guides and annual reports and metro trends talking about the economy of the area. So there's a lot of different skill sets. It's about a 13-person office, but it primarily revolves around transportation. And because of its intimate relation with the start of the transportation system, land use planning as well.
All right. Yeah, so I guess that's what I was going to sort of ask as far as like what kind of education, training, or background does your job require? But you sort of answered that you kind of have several different people within your office with just like that 13-person team. So with that 13-person team, do you guys all meet and sort of work together, or do you work independently? How does that work?
We actually have our independent duties and jobs, but we also work collaboratively in teams or during this season in Zoom to coordinate activities. Like we have a couple of the folks that work together in publications and demographics and statistics with the graphic designers to put out our publications. We're creating a model code for zoning and subdivision and land use development. For use if they want to adopt it by our smaller cities in our region, which are always looking for more planning. If they don't have the resources to necessarily go out and get the planning advice that the larger cities and counties do. So we're trying to create a model code, incorporating as much of the best practices as we think their populations can put up with at any given time. So we're trying to create that. That's a collaborative group involving most of the planners in our office that weekly get together. As a matter of fact, they're supposed to be getting together here in a few minutes via Zoom to talk about another aspect of drafting that model code. So we work collaboratively depending on the project and what we're doing. And that's what part of the fun about working in an office. It's we are not siloed in our separate responsibilities, but frequently based on the task, collaborate together to get that task achieved.
Yeah. Awesome. So how relevant would you say your undergraduate major is to the work that you do now? I know you mentioned earlier that, you know, maybe you should have gone into a public administration bachelor versus doing public political science. And then I know you said you got your MBA. So how relevant would you say, I guess, just that undergraduate major is to what you're currently doing now?
Actually, the undergraduate major wasn't that bad of a, because it was a good blend of political philosophy as well as practical application, you know, with the public administration side of things. So it actually was a good major. It's it is, you know, background material, just like my MBA is a background material. It provides me, it makes me conversant in a lot of different ideas or ways and theories of doing things. I happen to be part of Student Senate. What's now called the Student Government Association at UCA was previously called the Student Senate. And I was involved in that as treasurer and president over my time at UCA. So I got very comfortable with the workings of government, how your parliamentary procedure works, how you engage with people. So, you know, my time there was extremely valuable, and not just what I was taught, but the practices of thinking and of conversation that I had with my instructors. One of the great things about UCA, particularly in those days when we were right at 6,000 students, is we had some great instructors that emphasized being a teaching university, and relationships with the students were critical. So I spent a lot of time camped out in my professor's offices, just talking to them, just visiting with them. That association, what you can glean from conversations with people who are in different places or have greater knowledge or greater awareness of things, expands us as people. Things I read and studied in college, I also continued, and this might be a revelation to my college professors, I wasn't much of a reader in college. But out of that college education, I became a reader and continued my education. Things that they tried to teach me back then, I've continued since then. I primarily read history, biography, current events, that expands that awareness of the world we live in. And I look back at my time in those professors' offices with all the books they had on their shelves, thinking, my gosh, what a resource I had right in front of me and didn't know how to use it, you know, to glean that much more from them that way. So it was very relevant in providing the whole person, the background for the whole person that I became and helped make me successful, both in politics as well as in the function of my role in government as mayor. I think I became a more complete mayor because I had a more complete education starting, you know, certainly starting at UCA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, I want to emphasize, I think it's sounding like, you know, you took advantage of the relationships and you actually like applied yourself within your education and inserted yourself into conversations and what was around you versus just like gliding by, I guess.
Absolutely. It's we like the Supreme Court jurist said, we are part of the action and passion of our times. Mm-hmm. Lest we be judged not to have lived. Well, I lived at UCA every one of my 5 years I was there.
All right. So going off of that, what kind of accomplishments tend to be valued and rewarded as a mayor? And then I'll ask you the same kind of question within MetroPlan.
The one thing that I miss in my current role that I had as a mayor was I had the ability to act. Now, unfortunately, that's also a condemnation. You have to act. You can't just let the world flow by. But one of the benefits, if you embrace the idea that you are in a position of action, one of the benefits is you get to see in a growing city like Conway has been. Conway was about 38,000 people when I took office and was right at 60 when I left office. Is you get to see a city emerge, particularly as interested as I was in how you develop, and not just, are we getting bigger? Are we growing out of the city that we once loved? Or are we growing into a city that we can also love in the future? So that type of qualitative approach to city building across all spectrums of the city services is something that I loved and cherished my opportunity to do. So yes, when I drive back through Conway now, and my family still lives there, my mother and dad, my brother and my daughter, is I get to see the fruit of those years of labor as mayor and take pride in them. This boulevard street that would have been a five lane instead of being a boulevard, the pedestrian scale lighting along a street that would have been just vehicular lighting and been a much more dark and less welcoming place. The additional parks, the revitalized downtown, the use of roundabouts, when that was a novel creation in Arkansas, the development of the colleges and the growth of the relationship of the colleges, the protection of the old residential areas, all those things I look back on with pride. If there's one damning aspect of being able to say you were in charge for 18 years is I also drive through certain days and see things I didn't get done. Mm-hmm. And it's, you're never going to get it all done. But that's part of the charm and cherish of being a mayor is you get to hand off the work you've done to somebody else and the things you've left undone as well. And that's going to be their task. But those are the things I really take pride in, and the work is the fruits of our labors of our hands. That's the kind of thing that I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
As mayor.
Yeah. So then going off of that, what kind of accomplishments tend to be valued and rewarded now as an executive director at MetroPlan?
In MetroPlan, you're removed from the direct action itself. I can't force a city or a county to do anything. It's become more of a bully pulpit, so to speak. And I really couldn't do that in Conway either. It's just kind of an expansion of the same idea. Really, it's the power of convincing people to do the right thing. But you had it more directly working as mayor with the city council and the tools of city governments. In this role, we are working using that bully pulpit and the power of persuasion to try to encourage other cities that are at different places in their development. Maybe they are or soon will be where Conway was when I was off at TCU looking at different ways of doing things, or in Memphis looking at different ways of doing things. And they need somebody to serve the role of moving them forward across their growth from 20 to 25,000 up to 50 and 60,000. So, you know, they could be in different places and they need different perspectives. And my role now has become a role of persuasion that there's better ways of doing things. So we try to benchmark, go places where we can say, point to places, point to things and say, this is how it can be done, and encourage people to adopt new ordinances and take new approaches on things. And so it's a one-off relationship compared to what the mayor did. But it's still a bully pulpit. Another way of describing it is I can't, even as mayor, I can't make anybody do anything. As executive director, that's even more so true. but it's almost like I can tie a string around someone's button on their shirt and gently pull them where I want them to go. And I can only exert enough influence so the string doesn't break. And that string is trust. That string is relationship. That string is always recognizing a good idea and calling balls and strikes when things aren't a good idea. So it's similar, but now it's somebody else's actions and somebody else can take credit for that. So we want to be responsive and we want to be guiding and helpful and encouraging to these cities and counties to do the very best things at their level. So when the transportation and the systems emerge out of their neighborhoods, out of their garages, you could say, and come into the regional arterials and then up to the regional freeways, that we've got the best possible system there with the most options. That's not just vehicular, like the world I grew up in as a kid that emphasized the car, but into a world that's going to allow all modes of transportation more equitably and more safely, and hopefully leading to a better quality of place so that we can live better qualities of life.
Yeah. So within, you mentioned earlier that it's regional and you're over the central Arkansas area. So I guess my question would be, like, how many cities are within that region? Can you give me like a number breakdown of, you know, maybe how many particular cities you're working with on a daily, monthly basis?
Absolutely. We have, it's a 6-county metropolitan statistical area. Only 4 of them have determined to join it. That's Pulaski County, the central county, and then Faulkner County, Saline County, and Lono County. And practically all the city jurisdictions inside those counties actually have joined. There's a few of them that are in Lono County that are not fully joined. One just joined actually this past meeting yesterday. The city of England joined Lono, Kincabot, and Ward, and Austin as a member of MetroPlan, but it's optional to them. So we have a actual board of made up of jurisdictional board made up of about 28 or 9 cities. And then we have some other agencies who sit on our board as well because they are transportation related, like Rock Region Metro, a transit service. It serves, you know, primarily Pulaski County, Little Rock, and North Little Rock specifically. Arkansas Department of Transportation has a representative on our board, as well as Little Rock Port, because that's a intermodal facility that combines the industrial plants, the trucking business, the waterways, shipping business, and even the airport can be involved. And we also have the Clinton National Airport sitting on our board. So our board's a low 30s is about how many members that we work with on a monthly basis.
Okay. So within all of that you work with, can you speak on maybe any challenges that you've faced, if you have faced any? Either you can speak on it within your mayoral role or now being the executive director of MetroPlan.
I think they're similar. Mm-hmm. Is that you've got to have an idea of where you want to go. We did that in the city of Conway. We have an idea for where we want to go with MetroPlan, mm-hmm. but you can't just throw out there that this is the best idea and everything's going to go that way. You don't start with what you want. You start with what is. And so in the city of Conway, that meant pulling people along as you convince them to be pulled along. That string analogy comes into play again. It's the same way with MetroPlan in that we're trying to move the region to a more walkable, sustainable region that we won't have to put so much money into a transportation system and develop better qualities of life back where it really matters at the beginnings of our transportation system, instead of having them so quickly segregated by high speed, high traffic roads into little pockets that stay isolated. So we know where we want to go, but getting the people who are in charge of those jurisdictions aware of how to do things slightly different. Mm-hmm. And everybody in Arkansas in elected office at the county and city level aren't professionals. We're not a city manager state that hires professional managers in city affairs to come in. We are a very strong mayor, very strong county judge state that they come in and that's where the buck stops. So you've got to convince them first and working through them, their jurisdictions, because they've got their strings that they're pulling their folks along too, whether it's their city council or their quorum courts. And so it's a slow process, starting with what is, taking, you know, two or three steps and sliding back, you know, so many steps. It's that kind of process. Mm-hmm. But you start with where they are and you try to move them towards understanding what gets to be a better system. And that's what you're after.
Yeah. So among those challenges, can you share more about how COVID-19 has affected your career now? And I guess also the people that you work with?
Fortunately, economically, tax revenue has not been drastically affected at our local level. So that's good in that sense. But the currency of government and politics is relationships and talking with people. And you can't hardly influence people unless you have a chance to visit with them and spend time with them and work slowly through the reasons why this and the reasons why that or not that. Mm-hmm. Those type of relationships are not as conducive to being developed by Zoom or, you know, meetings, you know, team meetings or whatever your venue is, but rather in person, in time. So you can read better the, you know, the body language and the inflections of their speech and the way the expressions on their face and how they communicate. The full range of human communications is much more than just audio. Mm-hmm. And by being separate, you lose a lot of those messages that could help you convince them. You know, you got a good point, so you drive it home a little, you know, as subtly as you can, but you take advantage of that. You don't get that opportunity when you're separated and social distanced and have to meet remotely like we did yesterday for our Metroplan board meeting. It's just not as effective at the trade of government and politics. So that's the frustrating thing. It's we think of press the flesh and backslapping as a negative thing. It has a bad connotation in politics, but mm-hmm. it's those full contact relationships that allow you to get things done and to move people where you need them to go.
Yeah. So with that challenge, what would you recommend to students who are about to join the workforce when it comes to either facing challenges with the pandemic or any other hot topics or issues that have surfaced within this last year or year and a half?
I would say that you have to be conversant. I mean, we're in a Zoom world or video world. Mm-hmm. You have to be good at that. And you have to be good at communicating that way. You can go through Zoom meetings, and a lot of Zoom meetings I attend, I'm just an attendee and somebody else is making the presentation or talking. And you can see how they handle themselves in front of a camera, and they can flail their arms and move their head back and forth. And it's, you can tell they're not used to it. You watch the news stations and the talking heads on television or cable, or, and those, you know, they keep their head still, they talk levelly, they don't, you know, flail their arms around. So become good at communicating via Zoom or whatever venue you particularly use. Mm-hmm. You've got to get good at that. And the other thing is, you've got to get good at people. Unless you're working by yourself in isolation, any job requires cooperation with either your fellow coworkers or your customers or vendors. You have got to get good at working with people. You can't work by yourself in isolation, and you've got to accept that if 100% is perfect, you're going to be working lots of times in less perfect conditions where you don't get 100% of what you want, or everything's not quite your way. You've got to be good at taking what you can, gleaning that out, you know, discarding the rest, and working with that. You've got to get good at working in collaboration with other people. And that's the strongest recommendation, whether that's in a Zoom world or, you know, back in a pre or post COVID world. Mm-hmm. That's the strongest recommendation I can make, is learn to get good interacting with people.
Absolutely. All right. So what steps could you, or would you recommend to a student that would like to prepare to either become mayor or trying to become an executive director of a company like MetroPlan? I know you've spoken a lot on working with people and being good at conversing, but can you give advice on any other steps that you would recommend to them to prepare for that?
Certainly, anything you can do to, you know, further the background information you need, you know, the course load, be expansive with it. Not only take the courses of government, but take courses of history, take courses of sociology and psychology, take a liberal arts education, I would recommend. You could still take a lot of those elective classes and get a lot of value out of them. Even if you want to take a course in the sciences or, you know, a health field, all those liberal arts educations is one of the things that is most valuable coming out of your college degree. And spend time with your professors. They're not the enemy. You know, they're there for you. And it's like the old saying about the Roman soldier that could make you can make any person in the Roman Empire carry their bag for 1 mile. And if you would carry it a second mile, all of a sudden you got an entirely different Roman soldier who then you became a friend and a confidant to, and he would tell you about his travels all around the Roman world and expand your world too. So go beyond what's expected and build relationships with your instructors on that. Pursue your liberal arts education, no matter what particular field you're majoring in. I think that's important. And that would go for either my work as a executive director of a transportation related organization, mm-hmm. or my work as mayor. Specifically in planning, which is what we primarily are dealing with, planning and transportation, there is no direct planning degree in the state of Arkansas. However, a lot of people get into public administration degrees, geography degrees, things like that to move that way. There is an engineering degree. Primarily transportation would be found in the civil engineering side of things. You know, there are other, you know, structural engineering sometimes for bridges and structures like that. But those are the fields that would be directly relatable to my particular field.
Yeah. So going back on your time at UCA, I know you mentioned that you sat down, you met with your professors, taking advantage of what was around you. You participated in what's now the Student Government Association. So I'm obviously in Career Services. Did you ever utilize the resources Career Services offers while attending at UCA?
No, I didn't. And I wished I had of. I mean, I blundered through a number of things. And when I was working with my dad's construction company, looking back on it now, it was extremely valuable. That's when I really learned the differences between intelligence, knowledge, and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And they are three distinctly different things. Is listening to the guys who didn't get past or didn't even finish high school in some cases on a construction site. I spent 12 years working for my dad's construction company. And while it was, you know, a very good 12 years, and I learned a lot from it, from a business aspect side of thing, and again, dealing with people that I had primarily not dealt with in my life, people in the laboring construction industry that perhaps had not had finished high school, those 12 years was not why I went to higher education. I might have taken a different turn had I utilized the services that were available to me through the career services office, and I wished I had of. I kind of blundered my way into it and really felt like a fish out of water for a long time until I finally, in 1998, decided to throw my hat into the ring and change my avocation into a vocation. And that's where I think, that's when I really date the start of my career.
Yeah. So if you could do it all over again, would you choose the same path for yourself? And if not, what would you change?
That's a good question. It's, you could dally with a lot of different ideas and what could be possible, but you'd have to accept different results too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's, if I can do that. There are different things I wish I could have changed along the way,
mm-hmm.
but, not advocated for this and not done that, but, you know, I wish I'd have taken advantage of this more, but in general, it's hard to go back and change history.
Yeah. Yeah.
So interesting mind game, but that's really all it is.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So where can other students or listeners go to reach out to you if they have questions or would like to connect with you?
Certainly. My email address
mm-hmm.
is ttownsell, TTOWNSELL at metroplan.org.
Okay.
And I can be reached there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me today and throughout the history lessons and over the course of your career, you have so much great advice to give to myself and then other listeners. And thanks again for taking time out of your day and coming on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to Noteworthy Networks. Support for this podcast comes from the University of Central Arkansas's Department of Career Services. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Noteworthy Networks and Career Services at UCA Career on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We hope you'll listen in for the next guest and more career advice to come.